Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The stamp, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, this is Stadium and Gale in the list.
Trademark. Of course, trademark.
Yes.
Man, it's good. It's good to be here. It's just the two OGs here tonight.
Yeah, man. Back to the essence, the origins.
We were just talking about it's been about 6.5 years since we started this show. So we're back, kind of an unencumbered conversation, just the two of us, about the list, about Billy Napier, and about where Florida can go from here. So I've said, you've said, it's time, and we want to kind of have an unencumbered conversation about what the future might look like for the Florida Gators.
It's definitely gonna be brighter than what it is now. The future is definitely brighter than the gloomy times that is amongst our offense. Excited to talk about this list with you. Lane Kiffin is definitely trolling us a little bit. What do you feel about like Lane and his content that went out today, his Spurrier man crush, and a whole lot of other things?
Well, he's been saying spot the ball for the last couple weeks to start the year. You know, it's no secret that he's fully back together with his wife. I think they're at least back together. I don't know if they're like remarried or whatever.
Get your girl season. Get your girl back season.
Yeah, but she's UF royalty. Her dad was John Reeves. Okay. She went to UF, I believe. And so they're back together. But, you know, between spot the ball and, you know, the Spurrier visor and, you know, talking shit about other coaches, right? Like in other schools, like that's what Steve Spurrier is. And I think that's what Gator fans want. Right. So is he trolling? Probably. Does that mean that he's absolutely not going to take the job if offered? I don't know. And we're going to talk
about both. Both could be true. He could be trolling and he also could want the job, but he is definitely trolling. Trolling is not always a bad thing.
No, you got to have fun. You're still gainfully employed, still making millions and millions of dollars, right? Just had he's kind of having his glow up moment. You know what I mean? He had a documentary on ESPN last week. Did you watch that?
I haven't.
No, same. So I haven't watched that. So he's having that. He's been featured on quite a few podcasts, probably related to the fact that there's a documentary and obviously Ole Miss is currently undefeated. And so he's having this moment where, you know, you kind of remember him. He was a young coach with the Raiders. He gets fired. He goes to Tennessee, trolls Urban Meyer. He gets beat in the swamp, then trolls Urban Meyer again with Newkeese Richardson, if I remember correctly. Wonder what happened to him. I wonder what he's up to.
He's probably at the yard right now, bro. it's probably a night call, you know, at that institution that he's at, man. Not even funny, but I was just talking about Newkeese Richardson today.
Did he get caught up?
Yeah, he got some type of charges, robbery, something like that a few years ago, more than a few years ago at this point.
Hands up accountability. Had no idea.
Yeah, man. I forgot about that whole story till you just brought it back up, bro.
Yeah, and then he goes to USC, gets fired on the tarmac, mm-hmm. and then goes through the Nick Saban car wash, right? An analyst, an offensive coordinator, goes to FAU. Clean. Yeah, got clean. Cleaned up his image a little bit. Won at FAU, goes to Ole Miss, is obviously winning there. Didn't win against Billy Napier last year, but that is not a requirement.
It's a blemish. It's a blemish.
Right. It
it's
is a
nasty
blemish.
Blemish. To lose to Billy, lose to William. With playoff aspirations is a blemish, but I would like Lane in the building.
Yeah, I don't
turn the corner, brother.
Do you think he was outcoached that game by Billy Napier, or do you think Bo Nix just had a couple bad, or not Bo Nix, what's his name? Quarterback.
Our defense was playing lights out, bro, out of their mind. We was able to hit some explosives. Outcoach, I mean, technically, yeah. You got Jackson Dart, first-round quarterback, playoff hopes. You know, Billy is on a hot seat season. Yeah, he got our coach, bro.
Yeah, he got to execute on the field. Two interceptions, could have been three in the last couple minutes of that game. A game on the line, you know, game that they probably should not have lost. Florida carried a little bit momentum in that game because of the LSU win, but, you know, probably saves or helps save Billy Napier's job, and certainly allows him the opportunity to think that he can.
Lane let me down, man. I kid.
I can't let it happen again.
I kid. If he loses to Billy again, then yeah, like just take his name off the list. If he loses to Billy this season, it's a no-go. I like Lane, but you can't lose to Billy twice and we gainfully employ you. No.
That's a good point. For tens probably of millions of dollars.
Yes. Buyout, I mean, everything. It just doesn't look good on paper.
Billy Napier is getting what, about 7.5? Lane would probably cost 10, 11. I don't know if they've state income tax in Mississippi. I think they do.
I'll chip it in, man. I got $50 a month on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll throw in a couple dollars. I'll raise you. I'll double and pass to the next person.
You're double me. We're close. We're getting close, man. Chat, what y'all got? Hey, shout out to everybody that's hanging out with us, man. Like, retweet, comment, hang out with us, share. We finna hang out, have a good time, talk this list.
Yeah, we poured a little bit of bourbon today. We're just gonna kind of hang out today. We're gonna talk about the list. I was going through a little health thing over the last couple of years, so we got all cleared today. So that's super exciting. We got cleared last month, and you know, another checkup, and we're all good. So it's been a good day to celebrate that. But Corey, before we kind of get into the list, trademark, everybody kind of wants to know, you know, how we're going to break that down. And I think we're going to run through, we're going to add, subtract. Any thoughts on what Billy Napier has talked about the last few days? You know, he talked about the other day.
I'm going to be honest with you. I am tuned out from Billy. I'm going to try to check the game from my phone because I got to work Saturday. So I'm going to support these guys and the players. But Billy conferences, I had to tap into my self-love, brother. I had to step away from everything because who are the fans or just rival? I think it was some rival fans. And why do people keep asking Billy Napier about play calling? What else could you ask Billy Napier right now?
Yeah,
we don't want to hear the family breakdown. He's from a good family. Like, you know, his parents raised him right. You know, he's going through the process. He's doing it right. We don't hear none of that. Like, it's the elephant in the room.
What else are you supposed to ask him, right? I mean, the play calling's been the worst it's been in modern history since that 1913 loss to Auburn where we lost 55-0.
And we had no black people then.
I don't believe we did. Not on a football team. Maybe Auburn did. That's why they beat it. We won 144-0 the week before. So I looked that up because there was something that Scott Carter posted about, you know, Scoregami, which is like unique scores that Florida's had. Said the largest win they've ever had was 144-0, which never showed up in my research when Nick called me out a few weeks ago about what the highest scoring game was when we were talking about LIU. And I'm like, man, I wonder what happened after that. They followed up 144-0 victory over Florida Southern. Shout out to Lakeland, Florida, with a 55-0 loss to the future national champions, Auburn. What an egregious way to start the season. Imagine outscoring your opponents 144-55 in two games and being 1-1.
I don't believe these scores. It's like the Wilt Chamberlain stat. I got to see the film, baby.
There's no proof. Cameras had been invented for decades, and we still
not even throwing the ball like that. It's not like a spread offense. Like, how do you get 100 points? Like, tackling was just they, what are they playing? Touch?
I don't know, man. It was like that 212-0 or whatever it was. Georgia Tech over Cumberland, probably around the same time. But
anyway, Billy's breaking the wrong records. That's the problem. That's the reoccurring theme here. Like, all the wrong records are being broken. It's negative records.
Absolutely. Three offensive touchdowns in three FBS games. It's got to be the worst start in UF history, like modern history, at least.
At least my life.
Yeah. Anthony Beck says, I got five on it. Anthony, we need another $3.01 if you truly got five on it. But we appreciate the super chat donation. Everybody, love super chats, obviously, we will. This is going to be a more active audience engaged show today. So, Corey, as the internet knows, one of my things that I enjoy during this time, we started it last year and then we had to put the kibosh on it when Scott Strickland wrote the letter saying that he was coming back, is the list.
Wasted a good list. We had a good list last year too.
We did. Yeah. Nice. A couple names are not on this list because they're no longer available. With this list, I always put out a caveat, right? Number one is I don't think necessarily that all of these coaches would leave their current situation to come to UF. Right, I understand you have family, you have ties, you have
anybody,
but you have to make the call, right? Because I think that there is anybody could potentially make the right move, right? Like, I don't think Kirby Smart's going to leave Georgia, right? So he's off that part of the list. I mean, I think so. Would you have Dabo on your list, Corey?
I would take Dabo. Pause.
Okay.
I was Dabo. Like, you can't turn down. I understand. Like, it ain't the best of hires, but if you want to, you know, get just organization. I'm not gonna like the name, image, and likeness of Jesus Christ as our NIL strategy. That's not really the vibe. So I hope you don't bring that. But just from a program, cleaning up things, bringing some consistency. You know, making hires. He's not gonna touch the play calling. He's going to delegate that, hire somebody. He's really the CEO. He took the Urban Meyer approach. He's a special teams type of coach, never called plays, so he hires well and delegates well. So that's what I need in my life. So I wouldn't be mad at Dabo.
Yeah, he's had a couple coaches. You know, Tony Elliott over at Virginia. Shout out to Virginia for their big win. Tony Elliott came from Clemson, the former offensive coordinator whose name's escaping me right now. That went to FAU after Lane Kiffin. He was under their tutelage for a while. Chat helped me on what their former OC's name was. But, you know, certainly has created a pedigree, has a couple national championships to his name. I think he's won the ACC 8 out of the last 10 years. So even if he's a little washed, like Mr. Hunter says.
He's a little washed. He ain't full-fledged washed. He ain't full-blown washed. He's like pre-washed.
Okay. Yeah,
going on the washing machine, you got the pre-wash thing. I do. Like he's pre-washed.
Yeah, you get when you go to the barber shop and you get your hair rinsed before they put the shampoo and all that in it. He's just got his hair rinsed, and you're probably right. He's what in
never
this.
Washed my hair to get a haircut before. It's not a black thing at all.
Oh yeah, I can see, why it wouldn't be. Yeah. You make a valiant point there. You know, I think Dabo still has years left in him. Obviously, it seems like the Clemson fans are getting frustrated. He seems like he's getting frustrated. Obviously, he didn't adopt to the transfer portal the way that most coaches did. I think this is the first year that he's taken anybody out of the transfer portal. Three losses on the year so far. I think that they probably still rattle off a pretty good record. So,
yeah. You got some interesting guys on your list that I'm interested in talking about because I like.
All right,
let's do it.
Let's start. All right, now number one on the list. If you don't follow me on Twitter, it's at DK Thompson, and you can see the list. Version 1.3 will be out.
Must
on
follow.
Sunday.
You got to follow him because him and Jaws is the dynamic duo of like duels. on Twitter.
What we'll do is this is a wish list, right? When the firing happens, we're going to move to version 2. Whatever option we're on. And that's going to be a much more realistic list and kind of what we're hearing and kind of what the back channel communication that we hear is. So there will be a different iteration, but we're going to run through here. Number one on the list is Dan Lanning, 40-6 in his career. Respect. At Oregon, came over from Georgia. He was their defensive coordinator, has ties to the South from that. A lot of portal action, great high school recruiting. Defensive coach, but with Will Stein. Now, I don't know what would happen if Will Stein, if, you know, if we were able to figure out a way to swindle over Dan Lanning to UF.
I doubt you get both. I think Oregon would try to keep him in Oregon. But, hey, Dan riding the slopes. Do we have slopes in Gainesville?
Not those kind of slopes, Corey. Not those kind of slopes. If you go to Frat Row, I think you can go skiing. But the nice part about it is he gets the private plane. And I know Billy Napier gets, you know, X amount of days that he's allowed to take the private plane for personal usage. And so, you know, Dan Lanning can head up to, you know, he can go up to North Carolina or West Virginia if he just wants a quick weekend. He can head over to Utah, Colorado. You know, the plane probably has some mileage. You can get up to Whistler. You can probably fly right into Steamboat Springs instead of flying into Denver and driving up. So
you got to go to Columbia hiatus and hike and retreat like you, man.
All
right, back to the show. We're derailing. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We've got people that are important in my life that are listening to this show. and so Dan Lanning, obviously, probably on this list, he is the most it would be the hardest to get, in my opinion. He turned down Alabama last year. Yeah. Has a big buyout
because it's Nick.
Yeah. Yeah. So Dan Lanning, number one. I mean, I think he would be on anybody's list. You'd be stupid not to have him on your list. Do I think he leaves? No, probably not. He's got a good situation.
Like, why not? Right? Florida State post Oregon, Miami post Oregon. I think we do to poach Oregon. Like, we're up next. It's like a big three thing. We all go poach Oregon. Let's make it a thing.
Yeah, and that to me is why I think, you know, Phil Knight obviously has a lot of money. He wants to win. You know, I think Oregon's in a slightly different situation now than they were under Mario Cristobal and Willie Taggart in terms of the momentum that they have. They're in the Big Ten now. They have that kind of bread. You know, but does Dan Lanning want to do the Friday game against Rutgers?
Right.
Is that something that he wants to do? Does he want to do, you know, the Saturday afternoon Iowa game? Does he want to do, you know, the Penn State game at noon on a Saturday? I don't know, right? That's a lot to ask, you know, out of him. Where's Dan Lanning originally from?
I looked that up last year when we had our list. I can't remember.
Oh, he's from Kansas City, Missouri. They're right in the middle there. So I was going to say maybe to bring it closer to home, but you know, a hell of a start to his career. You know, when I was graduating college in 2010, he was a special teams DB and wide receiver coach at Park Hill High School or South High School in Missouri. Then went to Pittsburgh as a GA, Arizona State as a GA, recruiting coordinator the next year. Then Sam Houston State, then Alabama as a GA. It's a lot of GA years. Hopefully he has a couple degrees at least out of that.
Yeah, Memphis, if you don't play a game well, you got to do a lot of GA years, bro.
That's right. Memphis for, 2 years, and then Georgia outside linebackers coach, and then gets promoted to D.C. under Kirby Smart. Now, you can imagine that it was Kirby's defense that he was running, but there for their D.C. for the 1920 and 21 year before taking over Oregon. And so when a lot of people talk about him, we're going to get through some of the coordinators here and even one position coach. It's like, man, Oregon did
position
it.
Position coach. Let me ask you this. While we're talking Oregon, right?
Yep.
So say Dan Lanning is a guy that came through the ranks, as you said, like didn't have a lot of experience when he did get a head coaching job. Like he was a coordinator and, you know, came from position coach, you know, in that Bama Saban tree, et cetera. So you look at Dan Lanning's tree and there's a Will Stein guy that everybody is kind of interested in, you know, similar thing. He's doing well calling plays in Oregon. Coordinator, no head coach experience. Does he potentially just crack the door of the Dan list TM?
Yeah. Will Stein is on the list.
He's on the list. Okay.
Yeah. 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 Maybe I,
very good.
Let's just pull up the list. Why don't we do that?
Why not? Let's look at it.
Yeah.
I like Will Stein, by the way. I like Will Stein.
All right, so let's do this. We will.
Mr. Marquis said, absolutely not. Shout out to my guy. All What's right, up, man? So... Thanks for tuning in. Hey, y'all, smash like button, man. It don't cost nothing to show love. Retweet, share, comment, subscribe on YouTube. But press that like. Love is free.
Yeah, so
super
here
chat too, if you want to super chat.
Super chat. We've got 593 of you here, so I don't see 493 retweets, and I don't see 101 likes on YouTube yet. So go hit that real quick.
Haters amongst us, man.
We'll give you a second to go do that. All right. Well, there's the second. All right. So Dan Lanning 1, Lane Kiffin 2, Marcus Freeman 3, Brent Key 4, Kurt Cignetti 5. Then there's Will Stein at 6.
I'd bump Will above Brent Key and Kurt for me personally, but keep going. Yeah. And Kenny above
Kenny Dillingham.
Go.
Clark Lee, Brian Hartline. I think that's going to be one where you and I talk. Then Rhett Lashley, and then Jeff Lebby. Jeff Lebby barely made the list this time, and I have some good reason why, and we'll kind of get into that. But that's the list. I've said this multiple times. One, the list is fluid. It's going to move around. The difference between 1, 2, and 3 is far greater than the difference from 4 through 11. There's a big gap there. It kind of gets jumbled in the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 range. Then you probably take a step down 9, probably a step down 10, and probably a much larger step for 11.
Can I give you like one quick objection?
Yeah.
I think you really trying my guy Rhett Lashley at 10. Like you really you really disrespecting Rhett Lashley as a play caller, a head coach, and a crew.
So this is my thought on Rhett Lashley. We can talk a little bit more about him in a second. Is I think of the schools that it's going to be the hardest to get a coach away from is going to be Dan Lanning 1 and Rhett Lashley 2.
My break
SMU
break.
Has bred that UF would dream of having in one contributor to the program, and they have probably 15 of them that are similar. I have a friend of mine who has a quarterback that he's training that is being recruited by SMU, and they went to dinner, and there's 3 billionaires at that dinner. UF has a billionaire or two that are involved, but one of them is the co-founder of NVIDIA, and he has zero interest in supporting Florida Victoria.
All right, one more gripe with the list.
Okay.
I don't know who invited Brian Hartline to the party.
I invited Brian Hartline to the party.
I don't know why. Why did he get an invite? He's Billy Napier 2.0. He's Billy Napier Jr.
Can I
Great
tell you
why? Wide receiver coach that recruits well, but got fired as a play caller before.
Did he get fired, or did they have the opportunity to bring in Chip Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
same thing.
This is the way that I look at it, right? We can't be upset at looking at other options and saying, hey, maybe that person isn't the best play caller, but willing to relinquish those responsibilities and hire somebody. And maybe that guy is now your best recruiter. Maybe that guy is a talent evaluator. That guy's a player developer. I think that the coaching position is changing, and I think that this is an opportunity to really change. Florida,
this young fella. Let me see how old he is, man.
Brian Hartline?
Yeah.
Probably late 30s or very early 40s. He's 38 years old. Former Miami Dolphin legend.
He's a jit. He's younger than me.
So is Dan Lanning.
Dan Lanning's a different type of jit. He ride the slopes and don't even care. He ride the slopes on game day.
Yeah, that's one thing you can do in Oregon that you can't do here.
It's a different type of guy. Brian Hartline, like I like who he is as a recruit. I just don't know enough about him.
Yeah.
As a play caller, as an organizer, he's interviewed for some smaller head coaching jobs from what we've heard, right? But I don't have enough. Yeah, that's probably where he should start. I don't like him on the list.
I think if we get down that far, Corey, we've missed the mark. But you got to include some people. And the reason I think that I've included,
I put Fran Brown on before I put Hartline.
Yeah, and I know Fran is a popular name. Fran, you know, is in the fluid category. You know, he's not off the list, just not quite on. I need to probably see a little bit more stability there. I know he's got a couple wins. You know, they beat Clemson a couple weeks ago, and I know we talked about Dabo, but you know, I don't know yet.
No, I don't want Fran on the list. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. You just would rather have Fran than Brian, but you
I would put either on the list. But okay. 10 is a lot of coaches too, to be honest with you. So I don't have. I'm criticizing your list without a list.
Yeah, the commit me is taking notes here. No, Brian. So this is what I was getting at with Brian Hartline, though, is I think that you now have an opportunity with a general manager to take off some of those responsibilities that you might otherwise have when it comes to managing, you know, analysts and roster management and all of that, right? So what is your head coach doing? Are they going to be the one scheming the game, or are they going to be the one that maybe attracts a big name that can scheme, you know, a similar type of offense that you want to run, but maybe we get a coach that's more involved in the overall game? And, you know, you're talking about, I think Brian Hartline was, you know, first team all Big Ten years in the NFL, learned under Ryan Day and Urban Meyer, you know, about how to run a program. And yeah, I think that that's valid. That's
a good pedigree.
Does that mean that I would want Brian Hartline as option 1A? No. But I do think when you're talking about recruiting, when you're talking about kind of a splash name in the recruiting world, maybe talent attraction, you know, certainly his development ability, you know, he's probably individually put more first-round wide receivers in the NFL than any current coach that's coaching. Or,
you know, my thing is, I think, like, I like the chat because they're saying a little bit of the same thing I'm thinking. Like, I'm sure we're thinking it. It's just not a – when I look at our head coaching situation right now, I know for sure we don't have the smart – a top five smartest. I don't know, bro. Just like football, innovativeness, and a lot of things that come along with this. We don't have a sharp guy that's going to out-chess people. Mm-hmm. And the next Florida coach, we got to know that he's a sharp guy with play calling, even if he delegates it. He's just a sharp guy that can out-chess, and we think, okay, like Will Stein, he's not a head coach, but he's going to cause Kirby Smart some hell. Like, I know that's a real chess match, right? Regardless how I shake out, you know, I just know each Saturday we got a guy that's going to scheme and going to cause some problems, and they got to respect his mind. So that's first. Brian Hartline is really would just be a figurehead, organizer, CEO. But I wouldn't, like, as far as game planning wise, respect his mind going into a matchup versus Kirby Smart or the top. SEC, bro, got some sharp coaches. And yeah. We're at the bottom tier of it right now. Like Sarkisian, all of these dudes. Nobody's perfect, but Elko, all these guys can flat out coach. Their football intellect is on a high level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I think that just warrants the question is how involved is the head coach going to be in calling the game plan? Right now we have a coach that only focuses on one side of the field, and he calls everything that's a part of that. Do you, you know, can somebody like a Brian Hartline attract an offensive coordinator that he can trust to say, you take the reins on offense, get a guy that's going to run the defense, and then you're just kind of overseeing the game? Again, not my top choice here. He's not option one for me. But I think if you're thinking a little bit outside of the box, it's a little bit of, what are we going to call it? A little bit of a, you know, a name to create some controversy.
Right? I'd riot.
Okay.
That's what I do. Yeah.
All right. Well, no Brian Hartline. The committee will take that into consideration.
Please do. Because right. I would riot. Any boosters listening, we would riot.
My buddy Sebastiano said, can he bring Jeremiah Smith with him? Probably. You know, that'd be great. Absolutely. That'll be part of the
contingency. He says that in an interview. I could bring Jeremiah with me. Does that help me land the job?
You bring the other ones too. you got a bunch of five stars there. Florida hire boy,
Tebow.
Bios, hire Tebow. I don't recruiting skyrockets. Urban would be in his ear.
I would take, I think Tebow's smart enough to know that he shouldn't be calling the plays.
I don't think Tebow is at all interested in coaching, man.
I don't think he is. I'm just saying, if we're playing fantasy coach a little bit, bro, like I think Tebow would, definitely nail the whole Christian side of things, that like he'd do that better than Billy. I think he'd be better coach than Billy. Let's hire him right now, interim, like just to finish on some hoorah. You know,
I just can't imagine being married to Miss Universe and deciding to give up 100 hours a week to,
yeah, to be with
football.
Kids. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know, he's got a young one. He does his charity work. He does his missionary work. I think Tebow's fine. I don't think Tebow's coming. Urban Meyer is also not coming back. I know a lot of people keep saying, what about Urban?
I take he's Urban. Urban, if you're listening, I know you rock with us. If you're listening, I take you back, bro.
Yeah, I mean,
even
I would
after the little lap dance at Jacksonville. I'm a Jags fan. I would take Urban back. That's how like desperate I am.
He said that he had interviewed or was reached out to by some GM jobs and said he doesn't really like where college football is now. And so, you know, I think Urban lives over in like Sarasota, Siesta Key area. I think he lives right before the bridges to get over to Cortez. And I think he's living his life. And I think he owes Shelly some time. I think, you know, he's got some things to make up there. Hopefully he's not listening. Hopefully everything's fine. So
some things to make up.
All right, Corey, before we go back to the list here, Cliff Kingsbury, former Texas Tech.
He's in pro right now.
Yeah, he's pro. I think he's with the Commanders.
I don't think he want to come back to this. Yeah, he's with Washington, but
yeah, the OC at Washington.
I take Kings just doesn't really want to recruit good offensive coordinator, play caller. Maybe if he changes ways, but I like him as a play caller. I don't know if I want him to be the CEO of my football team right now. Yeah. Kings is not the guy for right now. Maybe when, you know, the Billy hire, but not right now. We need somebody that's...
He left Houston pretty quickly to go to Texas Tech. Got fired from Texas Tech. Went and became the OC at USC for, I don't know, 9 minutes before Arizona hired him.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work out at Arizona. He's been with Washington, obviously, with Jaden Daniels and Lauren and... Who else? Debo Samuel, right? He's got pretty good situation over there. I think he's made his money. We saw his house in Arizona during the draft during COVID. And
it's funny that people don't think Urban Meyer wants to come back. And then somebody just said Saban. Shout out to Sean Simmons. Saban, you think Saban is coming out of retirement to come to Florida?
No. He's got too many Geico commercials to film. And what?
Verbo commercials. Crazy. I like those.
The one where he's sitting there and then he's in the bathtub or the spa or the pool, whatever he's in, doing the lawnmower stuff. So, yeah, no, I don't think Nick Saban is coming back. Jed Fish, another name that people are going to talk a lot about. What?
Hard no
on Jed Fish. Under 500 still as a coach. I know Jeff Lebby is too. There's a little caveat there. And his buyout is $10 million. If you pay Washington $10 million for Jed Fish, what are we doing here? That means you have bread and you just didn't want to spend it on the right person.
Yeah, you're riding the slopes with Dan. Landon.
All right. Yeah, Dan Landon.
Dan Landon, that is.
Yeah. All right. Lane Kiffin, obviously, a lot of top 10 seasons, couple New Year's Six Bowls, first 11 win season on Ole Miss history.
This is what I want right here. Mark me down for Lane, bro. I'm full-fledged Lane train, bro. Do I think we're going to get Lane? No, because this university likes to break my heart when it's time to hire coaches. That's what they do. Every time I want to hire a coach, I yell out these names, and they just go the opposite direction. But I would love to have Lane Kiffin.
So Lane is at Ole Miss right now. Ole Miss is not a top 15 job. I think that Florida is a top 15, top 10 job in the country. I start to think of the other top 10, top 15 jobs in the country, and I think how many of those schools would hire Lane Kiffin? And you start to dwindle that list pretty quickly, personality fit, culture fit, location. I mean, Florida's really – I mean, Alabama maybe would – but there's very few schools on that list of the top 10, top 15 jobs that I think would consider Lane Kiffin.
Mm-hmm.
And is Florida that opportunity for him to get that highest echelon job and be the alpha in the alpha conference at the alpha school?
You're not winning no natty at Ole Miss.
No.
Yeah.
They're still heavily in the transfer portal. Wouldn't have to be at Florida. Probably has to be at Ole Miss.
No. We upgrade your life, Lane. This whole wet dream you have of Steve Spurrier, we can make that come true, Lane, if you're listening. Big fan of Lane.
We'll create a reel and we'll tag him in it.
I think Lane is not a guy Scott Strickland would vibe with.
Why do you think that, other than
Scott's Lane? I'm just joking. I kid. Don't blackball me.
yeah, we got to go to SEC Media Days next year, Corey. It's going to be right there. We got to go.
It seems like Lane is a rebel. He speaks his mind a lot. You know, he's very outspoken. I don't know who he fits, but if we got Lane and Ty Golden on campus, it will be absolute fire. And I think you would keep a lot of the transfers from happening. I think you would hit the portal. Kids are going to want to play for Lane. I think Lane just makes the most sense, bro, from a play caller perspective. The coaches want to come coach for him. Mm-hmm. And the coaches he'll be able to pull. A guy like Brian Hartline, like, I don't know what type of coaches he will pull. Like, who wants to go coach for a guy that has no experience and risk like their future, yeah, right? Like, coaches going to want to coach with Lane Kiffin. Like, look at this staff right now. You got Pete Golden. He got some killers over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he makes the most sense, bro. And I think whatever it costs and what it needs to get done to get, because we suffered through some terrible hires here. That they fed us some coaches that shouldn't have been. We should get more splashes than what we've been getting. Mm-hmm. And I think at this point, you know, the type with college football is at, NIL world, the roster we have right now, this team's ready to win next year. You know, if you get the right coach and you keep this team intact, even if some of them leave, bro, you got the core pieces going to stick, and you can plug and play in the portal. Lane's pretty aggressive in the portal. He's landing good kids in the portal. I think Lane makes the most sense.
Yeah, I think by far his offense coordinator right now, Corey, you know who that is?
Oh, yeah.
Charlie Weiss Jr. He started at UF when his dad was the offense coordinator for – Charlie Weiss here for just 1 year, right?
Yeah, they say he was riding around in a wheelchair, man.
Yeah, he was riding around on the cooler, the motorized cooler.
Oh, that's what it was.
I don't think the scooter holds enough weight.
yo,
man. I think his dad, you know, his dad lives in Ocala. So, you know, maybe Charlie Weiss Jr. says, hey, we're ready to make the move. I'll go with you.
Yeah, man.
My dad will get you a membership, you know, get you a membership over at Golden Ocala, you know, do some stuff at the World Equestrian Center. His daughter can transfer to UF, get a degree that's worth the paper it's printed on.
Oh, man, this is crazy.
The arrow's point, I mean, it was the name last year, you know?
If you sell, like, if it's like everybody know what time it is. You get Lane Kiffin, you know, you sell out tickets. I think he's the guy to fix a lot of, there is no fixing. They just kind of tarnish and didn't develop Lagway to this next season properly. But Lane is the guy for the job, bro. I think from a quarterback development standpoint, scheme fits got to matter this time. I think Florida hasn't gotten a guy since Urban Meyer that actually fits. You know, the identity of Florida, explosive offense, how to handle media, understanding the fan base, understanding the culture. Like, Kiffin fits all that. And the scheme fits got to matter. Like, Kirk Cignetti and some of these guys are cool, but they don't fit, right? Like, Kirk is a different type of dude. He's off the Bama tree a little bit in a weird way, right?
Yeah,
like, I don't want any of those quirky. I like Kirk Cignetti. I think he's good for Indiana.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the culture of Indiana, who they are, the expectations, all of that, who he's playing, it fits. But I think he's a little McElwain-ish in my mind when I view him. So I think fit matters.
He was only at Alabama from 2007 to 2010. So that was right at the beginning of Nick Saban's tenure there. Then he went and became the head coach at, you know, he really worked his way up. He went to IUP, which is Indiana University, Pennsylvania. And then he went to Elon, which is North Carolina, for 2 years. Then James Madison, and now Indiana, 135-37 as a head coach, 6-5 in D1 playoffs, 4-3. And that includes FBS and FCS. on 4-3 in the Division II playoffs, has 3, 5, 8, 9 championships, coach of the year, and numerous times. It was the Sun Belt Coach of the Year as well. He won a bunch in 2014 and then was also the CAA Coach of the Year in 2017 when he was at Elon. So, you know, a guy that's been a lot of places, definitely has proven himself more as a head coach than a Jim McElwain or, you know, somebody like that part of the tree. You know what I mean?
Bro, Kirk didn't get his shot till he was like 105.
Well, I mean, yeah, for sure. He started coaching in 1983 and didn't get his first head coaching job for 18 years.
Yeah.
You know, but moved his way up the kind of the old fashioned way. You know, you take the wide receiver job. Like, you go to IUP, then Elon, then James Madison. James Madison was really good when he was there.
Was walking to each job.
Say what?
That's why it took him so long.
Yeah, 64 years young. Obviously, wouldn't be a long-term coach.
I like Kurt.
I like Kurt. I agree with you, though. Again, whenever the firing happens, whenever we're all rejoicing in the streets, banging our pots and pans like we're.
I might hang from the light pole like the guy doing the basketball game.
It's going to be a Kai Ocho out here. I'll tell you what. That's the closest I'll ever be to a Miami Hurricane. And so I don't think that he's realistic what you want for Florida right now. At 64, obviously high-energy guy, still coaching and everything else, but how many years do you have left? Right now he's making $8 million a year, so you got to pay him more.
His buyout's $11
million. His buyout is $11 million, so it's a ton of money, right? And those things, when we create the list, we take a lot of those things out of consideration. Jed Fish just won't be on there because I don't think that he's the right fit for Florida. And, yeah,
boy,
you know,
below 500, boy, you can't say that.
I think if Jed Fish just went to undergrad at UF and then he was a GA, right? He hasn't been back connected to Florida since the 80s. I don't know if anybody would even know or care about Jed Fish other than him being a GA for 2 years. It's my thought.
I don't care where he graduated at. Keep that boy away from my football team.
So Lane is, you know, I think everybody's number one and probably the most realistic. Marcus Freeman, head coach of Notre Dame, obviously went to the national championship or went to the semifinals last year, right?
To the Natty.
We did go to the Natty. Just confused myself. Yeah, went to the Natty, lost in the Natty. Defensive coach from the Midwest. Would he leave for Florida if Ohio State ever opens up? That's probably a better fit for him. You know, would he leave? I don't know. I know that the boosters love him there. I know that they've given him everything. I know he's beloved in the community, very involved in the community up there at South Bend and the greater South Bend, South Bend, Indiana area. But does he look at this as an opportunity to get rid of some of those harnesses that are in place at Notre Dame, right? The academic component of it, the weather component of it. You know, it's a Catholic school, not that you have to be Catholic to go there. You know, does his style of football and his ability to maybe be able to get some of those guys that he can't get at Notre
missing
Dame?
Missing gangsters at Notre Dame. I saw it in Miami game. He missing some gangsters.
Yeah. You know, but his kids do get free tuition.
Mm-hmm.
At Notre Dame, when they go, he's got 6 of them.
I mean, that Florida's degree ain't too shabby. I think you make the call, you know, the vet, see if he's interested. Like you said, Florida presents a lot of, you know, homegrown talent, like getting kids to come up to Illinois and visit. It's a hassle. They're a national brand, so they recruit their whole nation. But all of that's time consuming. Being able to consolidate your recruiting to the Southeast and lock in with such a rich recruiting ground, I think, you know, bring some luxury, I would say. Also, like you said, the admissions and being able to get certain kids in, it's just a difference, man. Like, Notre Dame's cool, and it's one of the greatest jobs in the country, but you're limited with who you could bring on that campus and, you know, what you could do to compete with the teams like Miami and to get the national championships. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit more polished. They're not going to bring in a kid that's a fringe, you know, character guy, maybe, you know, suspect grades, maybe took some online classes that are suspect. They're not going to flirt around.
Maybe you need somebody to take classes for you after you graduate to get into school. Not that that happens, but.
Never.
It was Texas and Ohio State in the Natty. So they made it to the semifinals last year.
My mistake.
Yeah. Florida's a top 10 academic school. Don't get understand why you can't figure out the football coach. Hiring football coaches is hard. How many head coaches right now have won a national championship that are coaching?
I mean, Dabo, we just want to consistently win, bro. Like Brandon. Natty, I'm not even asking for a Natty. Just don't have me as the like Vanderbilt's better than me right now.
Vanderbilt's got college game day. 5-0.
5-0.
When did we become Vandy?
Like, what the hell's going on, man? I ain't signed up for this, Dan. I did not sign up to be Vandy.
You have Marcus Freeman on your list?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. I love Marcus Freeman. Young. I was just saying, you know, pick and fit, right? So he doesn't fit. He's like Muschamp a little bit all over again, if you think about it.
Keep talking
defensive to Bear guy, back. Recruiter. He just left me solo screen like that. Like, keep talking. Like, what just happened, bro? Like, that's crazy. But I like Marcus Freeman, defensive coordinator, great recruiter. He hires well, great staff. But I don't know from his totality if we want a defensive coach, because then you're subject to whatever offensive coordinator. Once the offensive coordinator at University of Florida is successful, he's going to get another gig, go elsewhere, and then we got to rehire and hope the next guy fits scheme-wise what we're currently doing. Like, all of that, it's a lot to consider when you're dealing with a defensive guy at a program that's historically known to have great offenses. So he just strikes me as the new and improved Will Muschamp with a tan and some Beijing hairline kind of painted on. But the broads like him, man. Kids like him. Families like him. I like him.
Apparently, the boosters like him.
Who, our boosters?
Yeah.
Yeah? That's the word on the street?
That's the word on the street. It's the word of the street. Now you got a couple people that know, and I'm in the know a little bit, not with all of them.
The bird's the word, baby.
Jacoby Jackson's out on Saturday.
Yeah. Hey, man, rest yourself, Jack Cheese. Like, we no freight, brother. God got bigger things at play, my brother Jacoby. Got to let God work. Sometimes you get hurt.
All right. I love Marcus Freeman. I think Marcus Freeman do a hell of a job at the University of Florida. I think that you can go and you can hire an offensive coordinator. I think that you can attract a different type of person at Florida. I also think what the fans and boosters want at Florida is going to be different than what they want at Notre Dame. We don't get a lot of the corn-fed offensive linemen that they get in the Midwest there. So it's kind of a different game here.
What's his buyout? That's a good question, Scott. Shout out to Scott.
We don't know. All of Notre Dame's stuff is private. As a private school, they don't release that information. I don't even know if we know how much he's making.
It's probably low because they got him as an experimental coach a little bit.
They did, yeah. When what's his name? Left to
Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly. Yeah. Marcus Freeman contract. Sorry, it's typing in. No. $9 million.
No, I mean, wow, that's pretty healthy.
That's what his salary is.
Oh, his salary. Okay.
Buyout is under $4 million, but
let's play ball.
They said that's what it was before. It was a reported $4 million buyout. But then he got a contract extension back in December.
Tricky.
You're probably looking at 10. Here's a name that I think will alienate the fan base, and that's Brent Key, coaching at his alma mater. Offensive line guy, forcing his quarterback to do everything under the sun.
It was in the sweatshop.
And so will he be as successful without King at quarterback?
I was not a King. I like the total team at Georgia Tech, to keep it a bean, right? I think they scheme well, they block well, they play well, disciplined football. Not a lot of mistakes and penalties on both sides of the ball. But you bring Brent Key. Georgia Tech may keep that offensive coordinator from what I'm hearing. If you do poach him, most likely they're going to try to retain that offensive coordinator. So who's calling the plays for Brent Key at that point? But I do like Brent Key as that staff intact. But yeah. I think when you poach him, you don't keep that staff intact, and that's where the problem lies.
Yeah, you make a good point. You know, Georgia Tech would probably want to keep somebody in-house. He has an unbelievable record against teams that he's an underdog against, a number consistently of wins over top 25 teams. Is he a guy that today wows the fan base? No, probably not. But is he a guy that I think could do significantly better than what we currently have? I think so.
I think we wouldn't have two O-line coaches.
I think being 23-16 at Georgia Tech is a very good record. Very good record.
He's overachieving at Georgia Tech for sure.
By far.
To be able to change the identity of what they are offensively, like they've just been a military, Army, Navy type offense. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of normalized what Georgia Tech football looks like. It's not coming off as armed services football these days.
No, I think that they, you know, Haynes King has done an unbelievable job at quarterback for them. I think that they've leaned heavily into him. And, you know, again, that's a question. You know, what does Brent Key look like without Haynes King? But you can say that about a lot of coaches with their quarterback.
It's Haynes Luther King, by the way. Yeah,
my bad. Timothy.
Timothy.
So Brent Key made the list. We talked a little bit about Kurt Cignetti, you know, National Coach of the Year currently at Indiana. 4-1, I think, right now. Or no, they're undefeated.
Yeah,
they're
undefeated right
now. Yeah, no, they
Kurt, we're talking greasy to people, man.
Yeah, they beat USC in a closer game. No, that was Illinois. Sorry, they beat Iowa in a closer game. So, you know, again, and no, Brett Bielema is not on the list. Somebody asked me the other day. Brett Bielema tried. I think Brett Bielema is in a perfect spot at Illinois.
No, Brett Bielema is talk about not a fit.
Yeah.
Terrible fit.
Will Stein. Here we go. The offensive coordinator.
One of my guys, man. I like Will.
You know, again, you look at somebody that has created an unbelievable offense there at Oregon. Is a guy that has been at Oregon for a while. 36 years old. No, I'm sorry. He's been at Oregon for 2 years. I'm getting him confused with somebody else. Interesting career, though, Corey. Louisville, GA in 2013, 36 years old, right? Louisville, GA, then a quality control coach at Louisville. Then he goes to Texas for 3 seasons, quality control coach. Then he goes and is the offensive coordinator at Lake Travis High School, which is a fantastic high school in Texas, for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Then he goes to be the wide receiver coach at UT San Antonio for 2 years, 2 seasons. And then he's the co-offensive coordinator at UTSA. And then goes to Oregon, was the quarterback, was a quarterback at Louisville for his undergrad.
I like former quarterbacks.
But only 2 years at a big school, 3 years calling plays, 5 if you include high school. Is that too inexperienced?
No, nah, right? Man, Gus made a jump like that, right?
He did, yeah. He went to...
He was at Arkansas high school, then he jumped to Arkansas.
Arkansas State.
No, I think he started at Arkansas with the recruits. I forget who he came in with that class. He went to Arkansas State as a head coach. He left Arkansas to go to Arkansas State. But he had some recruits in the high school.
Oh, yeah, 2006 from high school.
Yes. He came straight from high school to Arkansas. I'm forgetting the players he had. I'm nostalgic with my recruiting. But he brought in the quarterback, and it was like two or three other skill
positions.
The
running back.
Mitch Mustang, who's running back at that time? Darren we played McFadden. Against them at around
Darren
that time.
McFadden and Felix
Aaron Jones. McFadden, Felix. There we go. Now we talking. So I think it's a similar situation with Will Stein. I think he's definitely as innovative as Gus was at that time. Mm-hmm. That's my comparison with Will Stein. I think he's this generation's Gus Malzahn.
Mm-hmm.
The trajectory, how fast he moved up. He just didn't use recruits to get his start.
Yeah, but are you comfortable with just three seasons under his belt as the offensive coordinator at Oregon. Yeah. Because that we just had this thing with Brian Hartline, right? Like, yeah, can he get tracked?
Hartline don't call plays. Like, he's not talented at calling plays. Brian Hartline.
Do you want your head coach calling plays, Corey?
I want him to have the ability to. Oh. You know, even if he delegates it, right? I just want him to have the ability to scheme. Like, Lane doesn't call his plays anymore.
Right.
But he has, like, yeah, he's not going to let Charlie just drop some nonsense every week. He's like,
hey, just does whatever he wants to do.
In the meeting, like, Charlie, I don't know about that one, my boy. I think we may need to take it this direction. You know, like, you just want that voice of experience. But the inexperience, I think he's a lot like Dan Lanning in that regards as well, because how long of a DC was Dan Lanning before he got the Oregon job? Not very long. He was just a young, talented, up-and-coming phenom, per se.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right. Dan Lanning was at – he was a defense coordinator for three seasons at Georgia. So it's okay. It would be the nearly the exact same situation other than Dan Lanning had five more years. If you will, of coaching college. Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody's saying, like, the experience, like, what experienced coaches are out there? It's not like this is a new era. So there isn't nobody to go poach in a lot of regards with a lot of experience.
What about Gus Malzahn?
Hell no. How about hell no? Billy just beat him at UCF as well. Like, Gus is washed, like, for real.
James Franklin, a name that's not on the list.
Oh, no. Yeah, James, I like Brother James, you know, respect, you know, but no, he don't make the list. Brother James is, you know, I'm a big James Franklin fan. I still like him, but I don't want him to coach my team.
I think, you know, James Franklin was high on my list last year, and he's not on the list this year.
Big game James just don't be hitting, bro. He's done big games. He fold like a cheap lawn chair, bro.
You think it's play calling, schematics? Do you think it's a limitation of being at Penn State?
He hires well.
Yeah.
I think he recruits well.
He could bring Phil Trotwine back to Gainesville. He beat one of the best offensive line coaches.
That's true. I love Phil back. We would need two coaches to the coach position and it still be bad with Phil back. But I think it's just something missing with James. I don't understand why he's not more successful, because he has a lot of resources. He recruits well. Mm-hmm. I know a little bit more. I wouldn't want to say on camera.
Yeah, sure.
Tired or leaving and, you know, some other mm-hmm. things. I think he just peaked.
This is an interesting name. He's also in consideration on the piece of paper here is
so many papers. I don't believe you.
Ryan Grubb from Alabama came over from Washington.
How old is Grubb?
Younger guy came over from Washington. No, I'm sorry. He's not. He's 49.
Yeah. I like Ryan Grubb.
The high school coach was at South Dakota State for a little while, then Sioux Falls in Eastern Michigan, Fresno State for a while, then Washington, then went to the Seahawks, and then is back with Kalen DeBoer at Alabama. He had gone over to Alabama originally with Kalen and then went to become the Seahawks OC. They, you know, made a head coaching change.
Only thing would scare me is who's going to want to coach with Ryan Grubb? Like, what pool did he – for D.C. – like who he's coached with, because a lot of this is based off relationships, right?
Yeah.
And you got to have some league experience to a certain extent to you know how this league kind of work and operate. So that's the only thing that scares me about Grubb is who did he bring with him? Like, I don't know who he could poach or what coach is going to want to go coach with Ryan Grubb.
Yeah. He has been with Kalen DeBoer since Fresno State. Keith made that point.
Love his play calling. Think Billy's gonna try to throw that screen to Damian George this week, like Grubb did?
Yeah, I think so. No, he'll probably give it to Cam Waits.
That makes more sense. Time. Tackle. Yeah.
Emmett Smith is not gonna be the next head coach. Brian Johnson. I think Brian Johnson wants to stay in the NFL.
Hey, Brian, my guy, so I don't want to talk crazy, but no, Brian cannot be the head coach here.
Okay, let's get back to All right, so we talked about Will Stein. Kenny Dillingham.
I like Kenny, but he's at his alma mater. I like Kenny a lot.
Yeah.
Checks off a lot of boxes.
Yep.
Would love to have Kenny. Kenny's on my top five.
Good developer.
Mm-hmm.
Good quarterback. Cam Scottabo carried them into the college football playoff last year.
I love
the
Big 12. Yes.
Won the Big 12. Worked at FSU. Mm-hmm. Early on in Norvell's tenure there. Mm-hmm. Does a lot of portal.
He has to. Young guy,
energetic. Yeah, not a huge talent pool there in Arizona. You know, even in Southern California, USC and UCLA is going to grab those guys, and a lot of your prima donnas are going to probably go, you know, out east here from Southern California. So you're kind of stuck with who you have. You know, Kenny Dillingham, I think, almost makes perfect sense for Florida.
Yeah.
No, young, offensive guy.
Got in my top five. He's in my top five. So I got Kenny Dillingham, okay. Rhett Lashley, Will Stein, Lane Kiffin, and then who am I missing? I said Rhett Lashley?
Yeah. Clark Lee.
Matt Rhule.
Okay.
Matt Rhule. Those are my top five right there. Matt, like that top five, I get any one of those, like I'm cooking with hot grease. I, like my lies is back in full fruition.
Okay.
Talking greasy.
Yeah, I love Kenny Dillingham. I think that he'd be an unbelievable hire. He's at his alma mater, but does that make a huge difference? I don't know. Right now, Arizona State has a ceiling.
He had never won anything at Arizona State. Love yourself, son.
Get back to the Sunshine State. Show up your old boss.
Mm-hmm.
Love Kenny. Kenny's going to be hired next week. Kenny was a little too low now that I've released the list here.
Yeah, you got to get Kenny on there. I like Matt Rhule in Nebraska, too. He whines a little bit about NIL. I don't like that part of it. But other than that, I think he's putting a pretty good outfit on the team, on the field each and every week.
Yeah, 50 years old. Matt Rhule is came up
That's through, a sweet spot, around
through
50.
The ranks, position coach. I was at Temple for a while. Went to the NFL for a year. Became the head coach at Temple. Then went from there to Baylor. Did well at Baylor. Went to the Carolina Panthers. Struggled in the NFL. A lot of coaches do. And then is at Nebraska now. 62-57 as a coach. Won the AAC in 2016. Was the Sporting News Coach of the Year in 2019. And the Big 12 Coach of the Year in 2019 as well.
Very nice.
Played at Penn State. Almost wonder if Penn State ever moves on from James Franklin, if Matt Rhule is the guy that they go after. I don't know enough about his offense, and I don't watch enough Nebraska football to know.
I think he would be able to bring most of his staff, and I think a lot of it would translate, you know, what they do defensively, offensively. Like, you've seen some of his staff go to Florida State, and it translates a little bit. So I think what they do, like, schematically translates to other leagues. That's why I like him. I think he's super organized. He's a leader of men. And that locker room speech sold me, bro. Like,
yeah,
when he was like that, just that competitiveness, you know, like, bro, we need killers in this game. You can't have all this passive, nice Bible study vibes. I'm a Bible man, but like, sometimes you got to thump it. Can't just be passive in there, Daniel.
But, I need the energy, man. I think I've seen two clips of Billy Napier showing energy or enthusiasm for anything.
I've just never bought it.
I need a coach that is not loses his temper, but I need somebody closer to Will Muschamp than I need that person.
Yeah, I think I need a Will Muschamp grabbing on the face mask. If you just keep jumping outside, you just keep holding. Like, come here, son. Let me talk to you real quick. Up close and personal. Smell my breath, bro. Like, if you don't get this play right, like, my breath's going to get stinker next talk, bro. Like, tighten up. I need that type of coach, bro. This is football. Like, everybody just make bad plays, and there's no consequences, no yelling. Anywho, I want to.
Yeah, no, I got you. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt. Again, also at his alma mater, very much overachieving at Vanderbilt. Has
for sure.
Diego Pavia, who came from New Mexico State.
Mm-hmm.
5-0.
He's poached.
Win over Alabama last year. You're talking about a coach that is out coaching others.
Yeah. No, I like his. I like when they played Georgia last year, I was a fan. I was just like, bro, like they got a scheme and they're like designing guys open. Mm-hmm. So some ingenuity there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I gotta find out more about him.
Okay.
Not yeah, saying no, because I haven't done any research on him, so I just gotta find out more about him.
Yeah, came from Notre Dame. He was there DC. He's 43 from Nashville, went to Vanderbilt. Corey started his career playing baseball.
I think we need a Gator. Everybody's just going back to getting their like alumnus, man.
Who are you gonna get? Ike Hilliard?
Tebow, bro.
Tebow? Well, Jed Fish is your
No. Never mind. Let's scratch it out.
Yeah. This is Clark Lee's story, Corey. So started playing baseball in college, went to Birmingham Southern, then Belmont, and then transferred to Vanderbilt and played fullback. So shout out to him. Started off in high school
position.
Yeah. But probably an important position at Vanderbilt. UCLA GA, then went to South Dakota State for a couple years, then back to UCLA. Was a linebackers coach, then Bowling Green, then Syracuse, then Wake Forest, then Notre Dame linebacker coach, then the DC at Notre Dame, and has been at the head coach of Vanderbilt. So 21-33. SEC Coach of the Year in 2024, but went from 2-10 to 5-7, back to 2-10 to 7-6 to now 5-0.
It's just not enough win. I know he's overachieving that Vandy, but it's just not enough winning for me, man. I'm not sold.
I get it, but man, how hard is it to win in Vanderbilt? I mean, I know James Franklin did for a little while.
He did. That's how he got the big boy job.
Yeah, but let's see. James Franklin only did it for – let's see James Franklin at
– you won like nine wins or some shit 1 year, right?
At Vanderbilt. Yeah, I think so. Let's see. At Vanderbilt, he went 6-7, 9-4, 9-4. So
bro, that's a little bit different. He won a natty at Vandy, damn near. Like,
yeah, I mean, he won the Music City Bowl and the BBVA Compass Bowl. So,
well, and we had opportunity to hire him 1 year, but I think we kept Muschamp.
We did, that was the year we got all those injuries.
Yeah.
And we're like, nah.
Yeah. We always keep a coach 1 year too long, man.
Yeah, it's our DNA. All right, Corey, you're going to like this next one. Rhett Lashley, head coach at SMU.
My guy, I like Rhett a lot, man. I like Rhett a lot.
42 years old. Some people might connect him to that Arkansas job. Born in Arkansas, played QB at Arkansas.
There's no reason to leave SMU for Arkansas.
I would agree. 100% agree with that. I think Arkansas has some money. They have the Walmart bread. They've got the Tyson bread. But it's still Arkansas, right? You're dealing with some geographic limitations there. Is not a sexy place to go live and move.
Yeah, this is not real. It's not. You can't give me one reason to leave Dallas for Arkansas.
No, you're 100% right.
Dallas is beautiful, by the way.
Dallas is beautiful. SMU's campus is beautiful.
Yes. Yes.
A lot of bread at SMU.
Big bread or bread. But Florida.
Florida has NVIDIA bread. They're not spending it on football, but we still have it.
That's true, but you got an opportunity to come in and, you know, stamp your name in a box that SMU can't provide, and that's like national championship competing for that type of – I don't know if he ever wins the ACC at SMU, let alone compete for a natty. He got smoked last year by Clemson, and that score is closer than what it really was, and the score is not even close. You can just see the talent discrepancies like big time, and everybody can say they got so much money, then go buy better recruits.
Again, you know, a Christian school in Dallas, you have Texas there, you have Oklahoma nearby, you have LSU that poaches a lot from Texas, you have Texas Tech spending a lot of money too. You have bread, but does that bread translate into the players
wanting to come there?
That's the question, right? I mean, but he has gone 7-6, 11-3, 11-3. They're 2-2 this year, but you know, they'll finish a lot better. Last year they finished
11th in the coaches poll, 12 in the AP poll, lost in the first round of the playoff. But 31-14 as a head coach, you know, was the offense coordinator at Miami before that, offense coordinator at SMU before that, and then UConn, and then Auburn. He's a offense coordinator at Auburn for 4 years. So has the – well, in Arkansas State too. And then Samford, sorry. So he's been an offense coordinator or head coach since 2011.
He just got right to winning. I like coaches that show they can adjust to the roster they got, talent they got, and go get wins. They're not looking for this long, drawn-out success and flipping of the roster and flipping of change. So I like that he got to winning pretty early at SMU.
Yeah, an SMU program that's kind of been down in the dumps the last, you know, 20 years. Not a lot of success there to make it to the college football playoff.
All that money got them the death penalty.
Yeah, it sure did. But Eric Dickerson, right?
Yeah.
Pony Express.
And they lost a lot of the kids on that one.
Yeah. And then lastly on my list, barely squeaked on, Jeff Lebby from Mississippi State. I know Mississippi State. I know you don't want a Mississippi State coach. Former offense coordinator at UCF, Ole Miss, Oklahoma. Moves the ball through the air. Mississippi State is a significantly better program right now than Florida is. Not just with the talent on their roster. That's not the case. But with winning some games and developing their talent. Mississippi State almost beat Tennessee, and I think Mississippi State is going to keep that game a hell of a lot closer than Florida is going to keep that game. And I think that that is a coaching and schematic thing because they don't have the guys to match up with Tennessee.
Their coach died. They bounced back faster than us.
Jeez. Rest in peace to the Pirate.
It's crazy, man. Rest in peace, Coach Leach. Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to go look through some comments here. Yeah, Roland said, I'm a 10-minute walk from SMU. The school has a group of six billionaires. I'll take football wherever Lashley wants. Yeah,
they can't. You know why they can't take it wherever Lashley wants? Because all that money and they still can't get the players. Like, where are they finishing the high school recruiting? They're still SMU. Like, the players still want to go play and, like, have the top guys still want to go win a natty. They still want to play on the biggest stage. SMU is still SMU. They're going to get some guys, but to be able to get to, you know, what every coach wants to get, if you're competitive in this sport or national championship, like, certain things money just can't buy, Dan.
Yeah. No, 100%. Certain things
money just can't buy, bro.
I mean, you're going to see – I think you're going to see that a lot in – college football, right? Texas Tech is throwing around a bunch of money.
Correct.
I don't think Texas Tech is going to win the national championship.
No. Nope.
There's a lot of schools that throw around a lot of money. Just throwing around money doesn't equate to victories. You still have to develop that talent. You still have to be able to get the talent that's going to play regardless if they're getting paid or not.
Right.
And I don't think SMU is ever going to build a program that competes for a national championship. I don't think Arizona State does, right? I think you know, a lot of these names of schools, I don't think that they will ever be able to build to a national championship contender.
My boy Keith Roy just said SMU finished fifth in the ACC in recruiting. That's not, I'm not saying like Lashley will recruit, he will recruit well at Florida, but SMU is SMU. Like, regardless of the money and it being the NIL era, like, it's still SMU, and the top guys, like we're saying, aren't just going to go there just because you got an NIL check, because the ultimate check is that NFL check. And these guys also want to win at a high level, the top guys. If you're finishing fifth in the ACC, right, and this is the best that SMU has done in a very long time, and they're finishing fifth in the ACC. Like, think about it.
Yeah. Keith has a comment here, and Corey, you and I might disagree. UF doesn't care about football.
I'm not gonna say that to that extent.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna say they don't care about football. We gotta get some affairs in order. Like, there's some leadership missing, that things we have, but don't care. The money that's being spent, I can't say they don't care. The money we spent on the NIL world, like me being behind and knowing the behind the scenes of that world now, like, I'm gonna let you know, bro. Like, Miami's, even the teams that you're seeing in the playoff picture, they're not spending more money than UF. I'm just going to keep it a bean with y'all. We spending bread. They care about football. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they invested and spent bread with the wrong candidate, but mm-hmm. they're spending more money than they've ever spent on football.
Yeah.
Like, please believe it.
Yeah. Okay, good. We're on the same page here. I know that sometimes things can get crossed. You know, and I said this today, I responded to Blue Orange Gator, who's currently about to be on one of the most epic Twitter runs of all time.
Blue Orange for president, man.
I think what Florida has shown under Billy Napier, and I think they even showed this with Dan Mullen to an extent when you think about it. Mm-hmm. Scott Strickland fired Dan Mullen because he thought he gave up. Well, he did give up, right? But he said, hey, this isn't going to get any better. You're not adapting. You don't want to adapt. You don't see into it. We're going to make a change. Right. And we can't look back at revisionist history and be like, well, Billy Napier was just this no-name coach that nobody ever heard of. Billy Napier was a coach that interviewed at Tennessee or was wanted by Tennessee, was wanted by South Carolina. Louisiana was, 11-1, 10-2, 9-3 over the last couple of years, whatever it was. Billy Napier was a coach that, you know, a lot of people thought was destined to be a great coach in college football. And so what did Scott Strickland do? He invested a bunch of money in a staff that is probably three or maybe four times bigger than what Dan Mullen had, and certainly Jim McElwain or Will Muschamp. And I know college football changed. They built the indoor practice facility. They built the football-only facility. Whether you agree with it or not, they're making a metric shit ton of improvements to the swamp. That, to me, doesn't show that it's not a athletic director that doesn't care about college or doesn't care about football. I think he cares a lot about football. Do I think that he's a guy that maybe waits a little too long to see if it works out? Yeah, I think a lot of people are guilty of that, and I think that that's true outside of athletic directors. I think that that's true if you're in a hiring capacity. A lot of times people fire too late rather than fire too early. That's just the natural cause of being a human being, right? An athletic director is still a human being at the end of the day. I think Scott Strickland has shown, and I think what he's going to show to a lot of athletic directors is one, or to a lot of potential coaches, and I've had this sourced by numerous people, even reporters that you know that have been on the show, is that one, he's not too quick to fire, so a coach might be interested. Two, that they're going to give a lot of resources to that particular coach. And three, that they're going to probably stay out of your affairs and not meddle in them like some athletic directors do. And I think that that makes Florida a very attractive job. Do I think that Scott Strickland has the best reputation on the market? No. Do I think that Scott Strickland's the best athletic director? No. But I also think that what he's shown over the last 5-6 years under Mullen and Napier here is that he does care a lot about football, and he cares a ton about football. I think a lot of people get sucked into, you know, some short-term success, and, you know, Florida needed a rebuild. And, you know, if you bought into that, then, you know, then Florida goes and rattles off some wins against LSU and Ole Miss and FSU and Tulane, and you have some excitement and you do very well to close out your recruiting cycle. And then everything looks good. It's hard to not kind of drink your own Kool-Aid a little bit and say, hey, maybe this is going to work out. And obviously it hasn't. That's why we're having this pop-up show at 9:54 on a Wednesday with a coach still employed, right? But I do think that Florida cares a lot about football, and I think Scott Strickland does too.
Yeah, he can care about football and stink at his job at the same time. That's possible.
Yeah.
I think he cares about football. I think they're going to – Florida, University of Florida is going to invest in and spend time and let that guy who's ever leading this regime and the next troops of, you know, players, they're going to get a lot of leash and a lot of resources. I don't know if the hire is going to be the correct hire. Like, you can make the wrong hires, but also care about football. Like, both of those can be true.
I know that there's a lot of people that think that Scott Strickland, and I don't know where this came from other than I think people just make stuff up on the internet because you can just say things, that Scott Strickland's like infatuated with Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri. What are your thoughts on him? Weird dude, but...
It's not a fit.
Yeah.
He's perfect for Missouri, but I think he's a good coach for Missouri. He's quirky. I don't think the fan base mesh well with him. I don't think he hit it well with Florida kids. I just don't think it's a fit. I do like the way he coaches and call games, etc. But this job is way more than just call. Dan Mullen could call plays.
Mm-hmm.
But there is certain personality clash with him, the media, the fans, etc. And when you start clashing with these coaches, they all start growing that arrogance and, you know, stubbornness. You know, so you want to avoid, like, a fit corrects that part of it. Like, all of these coaches at some point when everything starts to go a little wrong and stuff, they create this arrogance and this stubbornness. And it's just from a fit standpoint, they just don't fit.
Yeah.
So the fit just means a lot this time go around, because I think Dan Mullen was the closest to a fit we got, and he wasn't even a fit.
Would you be, what level of anger would you have 1 to 10 if they did hire Eli Drinkwitz?
I'd be hella frustrated. I'm be real with you.
Yeah.
Cause it's just like, I would know that we're putting out a competent team every week, but I wouldn't think that this is our coach of the future. I would be expecting in the next 4, 5, 6 years us to be hiring another guy. Cause I just don't think he's fit. I think he burn out eventually once the fans don't get the results that they want. You know, this is a tough place to be a coach in those regards as far as expectations. We're going to be cool with 8 wins and 9 wins at first. But when, you know, you keep churning those out, 8, 9, 10 wins, not getting over that hump, I don't think he's the guy to get over that hump. You need a young superstar. You need a Steve Spurrier, Urban Meyer type hire. That's why I keep going young, innovative, you know, off the radar type.
Only 42.
But his quirkiness is about 85.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you there.
Hell, bro.
You know, interesting, you know, you got to think about this, Corey, right? And I'm not advocating, he's not on the list, right? Appalachian State, he's there for a year, goes 12-1, then goes to Missouri.
Now he
goes to Missouri during that COVID year, goes 5-5, then he goes 6-7, then 6-7.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes 11-2. 10-3, now they're 5-0.
He can coach. Dan Mullen has success at Mississippi State. But
yeah, I mean, I'm not advocating. I mean, this is
what do you think about him as a recruiter?
Fine. You know, coaching Missouri is different. I don't know anything about
Missouri's quirky. He's quirky. Perfect.
Missouri is quirky. I mean, expectations are lower. He's from Oklahoma, but was raised in Alma, Arkansas.
That's nasty.
Went to school.
Can't help who you born though.
His father was a high school or a college player, I guess. I'm just trying to look at, you know, his story here.
Son of a coach.
I don't think he played.
Sounds like Billy.
He coached with Gus Malzahn in Arkansas in 2004. He went to Auburn as a QC coach.
I liked his team. Every team he's put, even when Missouri so-called had down years, he just never really put it incompetent. So, like I said, I think we'll be a competent football program. I will never worry about losing seasons if he's here. But yeah. I don't know if we get a championship run with him.
Mm-hmm.
On a consistent basis. I think he has a ceiling.
Yeah, no, I think you got to break this down into who can win a national championship and who could put a competent product on the field. Right now, Florida doesn't have either, so.
Yeah, unfortunately. I would love competence. I haven't seen competence since before Dan Mullen quit.
Yeah. I mean, truly, I mean, we were living back some memories of Stadium Gale before the show started and being at the Cush House watching that.
Oh, man, that Georgia game. What a game. I never blinked. I never was nervous, man. I had Killer Kyle at the quarterback. I knew Dan was going to scheme. I said, bro, we're not out of this. We're good. We're good.
Scheming Daniel.
Man, we was podcasting our ass off at that time, Dan.
We were.
Good times, man.
Yeah, now the memory.
He quit on us, bro.
And then he quit on us. And just think what could have been if he didn't quit on us.
If he wasn't recruiting mid, he would have had to quit.
Yeah.
He was just recruiting mid. And I got tired of lying about that, too. It's like, all right, Dan, listen. Like, get it together. We got 6'5" receivers that can't separate. But now they're extremely good gunners in the NFL.
Yeah, it's true. Potential first-round draft picks. Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else here.
What do you think, Chip Kelly?
No, man. I think he burned Florida once. I think the UCLA thing didn't work out. He went to Ohio State, and then he jumped.
He is a mess, though. Now that, like...
No. I'm not saying that. I'm not really taking that. What I'm saying is he left UCLA. Didn't work out, right? West Coast guy. Goes, wins a national championship, and then immediately goes and jumps to the Raiders. Right? And so is he... Well, he's an older guy now, right?
He's an older gentleman.
He was...
When you're that age, you're not a guy anymore. You're a gentleman.
Yeah, 61 years young. Yes, gentleman.
That's a gentleman.
Apparently doesn't like recruiting. Never really liked recruiting. You know, was out of college for a while when he was with the Eagles and then the 49ers. Safe to say, pretty poor.
I can't do Chip anymore. Last time I called myself Chocolate Chip and we didn't land him.
I forgot about that.
That was crazy.
Man.
That was egregious.
Man, there's a lot of people still saying Jed Fish. Man, we're just not going to.
No, that's not going
that. We're not going that direction.
Hey, Nathaniel Rogers, or your name is what I think about Jed Fish. Nathaniel. It's not happening. Nathaniel Rogers.
Corey, do you think if Florida loses on Saturday that it's over Sunday?
I think it's over now.
No, like, do you think it's like
officially? Oh, officially.
I think Billy Napier knows it's over.
Yeah. I think losing Saturday kind of, you know, you just got to go ahead and drive that nail in the coffin. We're going to talk about this on Games Day Eve, but that Texas defense is tough. I don't know if this is the game. I know there's some bye weeks talk and, you know, Lagway's figuring it out, all of that stuff. I'm always be, you know, positive in those regards. I want to see my guys play well, but that Texas defense is not the defense where Dan Mullen figures it out. I don't think this year you coming out of the ashes of a bye week and just start going on a run. And I don't think that's what's about to happen, man. I think, stay locked in on the coaching search, fellas. Just ride with us in the list.
Who do you have as your interim in your mind?
Brandon Spikes.
Somebody said Brandon Spikes. Do they think he would be able to attract good coaches? Man, Brandon Spikes hasn't been a professional coach in his career yet.
You just need a hoorah guy. Like seriously, like there's nobody.
You let
Russ call the plays. Yeah, you let Russ Callaway call the plays. The defense stay intact as it is, but I think just you need somebody to galvanize and just hype these guys up to start playing, you know, with a little bit more spirit because they're gonna be down because they like Billy. You bring in a former Gator in those regards; he's around the program. But I think that's your move. Nobody on this staff is equipped to be a interim head coach. Like none of these guys, Jaluk, you can't have him. He may fight pregame. And then what you got? Who's the interim out to him? Like, nah, bro. I think it's a guy like you bring in Brandon Spikes. I'm sorry.
You know, I think what's like the biggest indictment is that we've not seen like any coach at Florida really go off to be anything under Billy Napier's career. Like none of them have really gotten major promotions. None of them have become head coaches.
They're not fit. This entire staff is not qualified. I'm not gonna say that. I'm sorry. I'm cool with some people on this staff. In its totality, this is one of the most experienced. And I harped on this on the offseason. When you look at the experience in years and games in the SEC, we are at the lowest experience wise of hours coach, days coach, games coach in the SEC. This roster is very inexperienced. And you can see it on Saturdays. Ron Roberts is not that good of a coach. Like, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. Ron Roberts is not that good. He's okay.
I mean, there's some other issues with Ron Roberts that you can check the internet about too.
Yeah. Ron Roberts should have been gone. Like Will Harris, the reason he left, there's a lot of people that left in the right regards in hindsight 2020. Like, you know, I don't like how nasty some things got and, you know, unprofessionalism with way certain people left. But, you know, if you're behind the scenes and when a fire happened, you know, stories are going to come out like they always do. But Will Harris wasn't completely wrong with why he left, you know, and how that went down. Ron Roberts keeping his job was a little bit to do with that. The screech, no. We'll talk about that later in the firing or something. But, yeah, I don't think this staff is equipped to be a SEC staff, you know, in this experience. We look outclassed, and that's because when you look at the amount of starts and the inexperience on paper, it looks just like that on game day.
Yeah, I think.
Especially on the offensive side. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think the only potentials you have, you know, I think Jaluk would have maybe been a potential before he slapped kid, is Ron Roberts or maybe Billy Gonzalez. Just from a age being around. I mean, interim coach doesn't matter, right? Like, what are you winning for? Nobody on the staff is going
to. What is Ahmad doing? I think Ahmad would do it.
He finally gets a chance to be on staff.
Just anybody, bro. Like, I need a former player, but nobody on this staff, really. I don't know. Whatever.
Ike Hilliard just got fired from the Falcons. Bring him back. No, nah, we're just kidding with you. I don't know. It's going to probably be one of those couple names. It doesn't matter. Any, you know, I don't know about holdovers. We can talk about that when it actually happens. But that's it, man. You got anything else?
No, I'm excited on this journey. You know, yeah. You know, new beginnings. You know, the talent is rich. I like, because over the years since I've been covering this, one of my gripes have been that Florida don't care about football. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel that way anymore. So that's what I'm enjoying about like this next turn. It's all about making the right hire and getting the right people in here. But the care, the money invested, you know, our NIL is strong. I don't have any reservations in no regards. I think we got the right thing going. We just got the wrong coach right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you bring the right coach in and Florida can return back to where they were and where they can be very quickly. I think that Florida can recruit with the best of them. I think that Florida has a committed booster group. And, you know, I think it's time to take advantage of that, right? And there's only going to be so long. Rich people have other things that they can spend rich people money on. They're not just going to keep flushing it down the toilet. That's why I also think that you're going to have some other people involved in making this decision besides just Scott Strickland.
Oh, you think so?
I do.
You don't think Scott's making it solo dolo?
No, I don't.
Mm.
I can talk to you offline about that if you want.
Yeah, you can't leave that boy to his own devices. Not again.
No, I'll talk to you about it when we're done here. Kerwin Bell. It took 1 hour, 32 minutes, and 19 seconds.
Oh, no, somebody. No, I've seen Curry name at least four times in the chat, bro. I don't know, man.
Okay, yeah. No, Kerwin Bell's not. We're not going to hire a coach. Again, kind of like Jed Fish, you guys wouldn't know Kerwin Bell existed unless he was coach at Florida or played at Florida. If you hire a coach from Western Carolina, Steve Spurrier Jr. No, I don't think Steve Spurrier Jr. is going to be the interim coach.
Again. Right now. Steve Spurrier is the interim?
No, Steve Spurrier Jr.
What is Steve doing?
Steve's got his podcast with Pat Dooley.
Oh, no,
running a restaurant.
I'll handle that for him.
Playing cheating golf tournaments. I told you that story, right?
Steve, every time Steve talk about his offense, he looks like disgusted. He just can't wait for Billy to get fired too so he can give his real opinions.
Yeah, man, I wish we had the group together when we were at DJ Lagway's event. Remember we got Spurrier and he's like, I'm ready. And then Nick had disappeared and Jordan disappeared. And like in hindsight, we could have just done it without him. But
yeah.
No, but Steve Spurrier Jr. got fired at Tulsa as their offense coordinator. I don't think that he's gonna be the interim head coach.
Yeah, the apple didn't fall nowhere near the tree.
Y'all should do a segment on red flags in general. Remember the Ernest Graham tweet. Scott, can you share
Ernest Graham, this was in the recruiting time, and I think coaches got fired. Something was happening. right after signing day, et cetera. It's a lot of red flags, bro. Like we'll revisit them. There is a lot of red flags, bro.
I mean, and you think about it, you made you got rid of you're now on your third defensive coordinator in 4 years. You fired Corey Raymond, he's doing all right for himself.
Yeah,
you fired Jay Bateman, he's doing all right for himself.
Yeah, bounce back all right.
You've made some other changes.
Armstrong's doing okay for himself at Texas. I mean, Houston.
Yeah. Kerry Colbert left the first chance he could get. You lost your strength and conditioning coach to Boston College.
Lost Will Harris to Miami in very embarrassing
form. I'd like to see DJ's old high school coach get the job. No. Interim job?
Lucky Chucky? I don't. Like, why would you want to do that, Lucky Chucky? Like, why would you want to do that? Like, DJ's coach is probably a PE teacher and does, like, watching film on his spare time, bro. It's not, like, a serious situation. He's going to come in outsmart Kirby Smart.
Can you imagine going from a portable by the football field?
Yeah. To Billy's offense? That sounds about right. Anybody seen Kurt Napier?
No, I think he disappeared when the season started. He was everywhere. He was real nostalgic.
Kurt had Billy baby pictures, everything on the timeline. Like Billy at the swamp when he was 9. It was great PR. Kurt had a great, like, you know, idea, but
he was at the Whispering Woods tailgate, I think, for the Orange and Blue game.
Yeah,
Kurt, give us a sign of life, brother.
Nah, Kurt is out of here. He's gonna pop up at Billy's next job at Valdosta State.
Question: are there any defensive coaches? We mentioned Marcus Freeman, but
Lee, right?
Clark Lee. Yep, Clark Lee was a DC too. Yeah, so those three. Good memory. You know, I think Florida's always thrived with an offensive coach, and I still think that that's where their identity is, and they like putting up points. I obviously love the elite defense, and you had that, you know, under Charlie Strong and Bob Stoops and everybody else. Bob Stoops also, somebody mentioned, why don't we hire Bob Stoops? God, we are not hiring Bob Stoops, brother.
Like, what is wrong with y'all? Bob Stoops was calling defense when, you know, spread wasn't a thing like that, bro.
But, all right, man. Well, we've got game day eve Friday at 10 a.m. Appreciate all 2,000 of you, we'll call it, for hanging out. Before you do, hit the retweet button, hit the like button, the subscribe button. We appreciate all of you. No, PED, nobody mentioned John Gruden because we don't do that right here. This is a serious program.
Yeah, John Gruden is definitely unserious. He's been labeled as racist. I'm not saying that he is. He does have that label. I'm pretty sure Florida is not going to put their fingerprints on a guy like that right now. One thing we're going to do at Florida is keep it uncontroversial.
That's true.
Down the middle of the road, baby.
Straight as an arrow.
Straight as an arrow, bro.
Yeah. You got to be careful now, too. Got to be careful.
Oh, yeah.
You get this day and age. We're going to have people looking back at every statement they made since they were a child. So
for sure. 100%.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you. But if folks sleep on Scott Frost, man, we're not. Scott Frost already wasn't interested in Florida. I think Scott is exactly where he needs to be to rehab his
injury. Nebraska job is too big for Scott. So
yeah, he became, unfortunately, lost himself there. And yeah, you've just kind of, you've lost me there. Maybe in 10 years, Scott Frost, he can do the Lane Kiffin redemption, you know?
Yeah, he's lost his sauce, man. I think he lost his coordinators and a few other people. Maybe if my guy wasn't at Tennessee, he still had him around. He'd still be thriving better, but Heupel's gone. It hasn't looked the same since Heupel's left, in my mind.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Alex Golish was a name. I don't see it just yet.
Nah.
I know he beat Florida. But Florida
beats beating Billy is not a barometer. That's why I need Lane to kind of right that ship a little bit for me this year.
Yeah. I need a head coach. You know, I love Lane Kiffin, but I almost need a head coach. It's like not on the social media stuff and everything else. Just doesn't let that stuff bother them.
I think me and Lane would be a perfect duo on the timeline.
You think Lane would come on the show? I think so.
Hell yeah. Me and Lane would, like, we could tear these trolling streets up. Like, we're a little here with the trolling.
You think Lane Kiffin's ever had a...
Lane followed me, by the way.
I know. I remember that. From the roll-up days, yeah.
Yeah, for the roll-up days.
Hey, hit him up. Ask him if he wants to come on the show when we do our I Want to Poach Your Coach segment.
I'll see, man. I think so. I DM'd him before about coming on the show. He never responded, so.
Oh, man.
He was at FAU at the time, too.
Let's try again.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you Friday, 10 a.m. Thanks for joining.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.